Galatians chapter 4. With the Christmas season upon us here, we are thinking about the incarnation. And last week we looked at the humility of the incarnation in Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to continue that theme. We saw last week that that position that Jesus took on is emphasized there in Hebrews chapter 2. It was a lower position than the angels, even though the Son was higher in his rank than the angels is. Which enabled that sacrificial act that he came to perform. And so as we think about the incarnation here again, we're looking at that from Galatians chapter 4 here, another passage that kind of goes along with that same theme of humility. See many, many passages that teach that. And we're going to just consider this briefly. It has to do with the commission, the humble commission. God sent forth his Son here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." This was done, the text says, at a certain time, when the fullness of time was come. That the time here is the time of history, a time that's measured in hours and days and years. And the Bible tells us that when the fullness of that time had come, that God sent forth his Son. It was a providential time in history, certainly. When God did that, we can go back and look to the circumstances that happened there in the Roman Empire and everything that fell into place for ultimately the spread of the gospel, the Roman Empire, Roman roads, the language that was spoken of that day, the Greek language spoken all over the world, the known world at that time. And God chose that time in history to send forth his Son. But ultimately, it was the right time that God had selected here. I want us to focus on the way in which he was sent forth. You know, when we send forth something today, there's a certain amount of importance that we do that with. If you're sending forth your packages or your Christmas cards, perhaps, you're doing that probably using the post office, or maybe you send a package UPS or something. And of course, we've seen those delivery people a lot more here lately. Even this morning, I saw the mail truck going by. Apparently, they're working overtime today. But, you know, they do that in an official capacity. We send forth our packages, and these people, it's their job to deliver these things, and they wear uniforms. They come up to your house. They've got uniforms on, and UPS. They've got special hats even sometimes, and they're doing this officially. But when we look at how God sent forth his Son, it was done in a very humble way. And I want you to see these two descriptions that emphasize this humble commission. And the first one we see here is that God sent forth his Son, and this is how he did it. First of all, made of a woman. Made of a woman. The word made refers to being born. When we look at that word, it's talking about being born. And let's face it, you know, being born of a woman really is the only way to be born as a human. And that's the way that God sent his Son into the world. He sent him made of a woman, born of a woman, and that emphasizes the human birth here. That's the way that humans enter the world. For anyone else, it would be stating the obvious to say that we were born of a woman. But to say it of God's Son tells us something very important God could have sent his son into the world in a different way, but he sent his son made of a woman in a human fashion, in a human way. And when it says of a woman, it means that his nature, his human nature, came from a woman. That's how the nature, the humanity of Christ became, that he took that humanity on. He was born of a woman. So it was a human birth. And this passage doesn't teach this directly, but we know also that the Scripture teaches us that that birth was a virgin birth. It was a virgin birth. We can go back to the gospel accounts of the message to Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 34. The angel appeared to Mary, then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." How can we explain that? How can we explain the virgin birth? There is no human explanation for it except the fact that it was a miracle. And God chose this way, this virgin birth, to send his son into the world. This statement also should remind us of something back in the Old Testament. If you think back in your minds to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve there, and just after the fall of man and woman, the first sin, God came and announced the consequences in Genesis chapter 3, the curse upon the world because of sin. But you remember in the midst of that, that God gave a promise in Genesis 3:15, and he said this, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You know, the fact that Jesus here is said to be born of a woman should remind us of that prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, where God promised there very early on that the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman, would bruise the head of the serpent. We see a fulfillment of that here in this this birth, this prophetic birth. So God sent forth his son made of a woman. It was a human birth. It was a virgin birth. Scripture teaches us that. It was a prophecy-fulfilling birth in many different ways. And then the second description we have of God sending forth his son here and how he did that, there in verse 4 it says, "God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law." Second way here is that he was made under the law. What does that mean? Well, when we look at that phrase, I looked up that phrase specifically, under the law here in the New Testament. There's a number of different places it happens. But one place, just as an example, is in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are," and here it is, "under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." So who is he talking about there? Paul is talking about Jews. And he's talking about his mission to reach those Jews and to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And so when it says here that God sent forth his son made under the law, one thing that it does mean is that God sent forth his son as a Jew. Sent him forth as a Jew. He caused him to be born under the law as a Jew. And so as we remember the life of Christ and the things that happened to Christ, his family, even from the very beginning, you remember that he was circumcised the eighth day. He was brought into the temple as a Jew. And he and his family observed the feasts. In the little that we know about Jesus' upbringing, we find him there in Jerusalem. His family had come to the Passover, and they did that because they were Jews, and Jesus was a Jew. He kept the Sabbath day. He observed the ceremonial distinctions and the feasts and paid the tax, the temple tax. And so we're reminded here that God sent him specifically in that way. He became subject to the law of Moses. But there's another aspect to this, being born under the law. And to see that, I want to ask you to flip over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and look specifically at verse 19. Romans 3:19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Now I want us to look at this passage here. We find this phrase used again, under the law. Whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And let's just ask the question, how many are under the law? As we look at this passage in Romans chapter 3, how many are under the law? Well, let's go back up in this passage to verse number 10. What does it say? "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." You know, if you think about the argument that Paul's making in Romans, going back to the very first chapter, you find that Paul is proving his point here that that he's just made again. That is that all men are sinners. Everybody has sinned. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all unrighteousness. And in chapter 2, we go back and Paul talks about the Gentiles and how they are accountable to God. And back in verse 14, it says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law," Romans 2:14, "do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or also or else excusing one another." And Paul makes that point that everyone, no matter if they are Jews who have the revealed word of God, the law, or no matter if they're Gentiles who don't have that by nature revealed word of God, but yet Paul says the law of God is written on their hearts. They're all accountable to God. They're all sinners. And so, going back to Galatians 4, we have this phrase that he was made under law. What does it mean? Well, it means, yes, he was a Jew. That phrase does, in the Scripture, describe the Jews. But also, as we look at Romans especially, we see that who are the people that are under law? Everybody. Everybody is under law. Even the Gentiles. And so we come and we think about how God sent Jesus Christ, and he sent him to be under law. And as we think about how Christ lived, how did he live? Well, he lived in a way that no one else could or ever did. We find that he obeyed the law perfectly. He did it better than any Jew could ever do it, than any Gentile could ever do it. And we have this term that some theologians use in reference to Christ, and that is the active obedience of Christ. And when we see Christ's life, We're reminded of the fact that he obeyed perfectly. And that's important because we are taught in the scripture that God imputes Christ's perfect righteousness to our account. And he looks upon us as perfectly righteous, not because of our own, but because of Christ's perfect righteousness. And it is that which redeems us from the law in Galatians chapter 4. You know, as I listened to the news here recent days, different shows, sometimes they point out the COVID coronavirus hypocrisy that you see. Sometimes some of these commentators like to point that out. And the fact that there's these governors who make these really stringent rules about traveling or meeting with groups. Next thing you know, there's these pictures. And this guy is in a restaurant. He's got no mask on. He's in this group. And then come to find out, this person over there, they flew to another state and they had Thanksgiving. You know, the horror of that. And you know, the hypocrisy, ultimately, that these people make these laws and yet they break them. They're hypocrites. but when we look at Jesus, we don't see that. He was made under law, and never at any time did anyone catch him in any sort of hypocrisy. Never. Never did Jesus make a law and then go ahead and break it. One of God's laws. He obeyed it all perfectly in the way that it should be rightly understood and rightly followed. Jesus obeyed it all perfectly. And by that obedience, he redeems us who are under the law. So the humble commission of Jesus Christ. God sent forth his Son, not in a way that any of us would ever send forth anybody, but in a humble way, made of a woman, born of a woman, and made under the law to redeem them who are under the law. That's us. That's you and me. That's every Jew, every Gentile. God sent forth his Son to redeem us who are under the law. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the way in which you sent forth your Son. We remember his humble birth, born of a woman, born under the law. And we thank you, give you praise for how you did that and the way in which you sent him. We recognize that our own obedience to the law falls far short. We know that there's none righteous, no, not one. But we see Christ, who is righteous, and he completely met the demands of the law for our benefit so that we could be redeemed. And help us, Lord, to understand that, comprehend that, and be thankful for all that you've done, especially at this Christmas season, that we remember your coming, the sending of your Son into the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I trust that you got a prayer sheet as you came in. There is a newer one from this week. I should say December 7th, the day that will live in infamy. That was Pearl Harbor Day, so we are thankful for those that gave their lives for our country. 79 years ago that Pearl Harbor was attacked. But just want to mention a few prayer requests here, and then we'll take a few. Mrs. Deweese has asked that we pray for Larry Shelton. That's Lee Shelton's brother, and he was in the hospital this week with COVID. And so pray for him. Last I heard, he was improving some, but that's Larry Shelton, Lee Shelton's brother. And my wife's father, Chuck Gibson, he has it as well, and he was pretty sick this week. But I think he is doing some better. He had COVID as well. And so pray for him. That's Chuck Gibson. And then Frida has asked us to pray as her brother-in-law passed away. It's her sister's husband. And so I pray for his family. And also, again, she asked to pray for her sister's grandson, James, who was in the hospital with seizures. He's a 10-year-old boy. Was having these painful seizures, and he's up in the hospital in Cleveland, Rainbow Babies and Children. And then Bob Ogden also had to go to the ER this week, Monday, and they think he may have had some type of stroke, some type of mini stroke like that. So pray for Bob Ogden as well. Okay, any other praises or prayer requests you want to mention today? Yes, Mrs. Gosper.
Bob and Pat both are recovering from COVID.
Okay, the Ogdens also have COVID, recovering from it. Bob and Pat with COVID. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Sue.
Lynn Cardwell, her late husband used to be a pastor at Harmony. He passed away. She has COVID too.
Okay, the name again?
Lynn Cardwell.
Lynn Cardwell? She passed away?
No, he...
Her husband passed away several years ago.
Okay.
But she's got COVID now.
Okay, so Lynn Cardwell with COVID. Her husband used to be a pastor at Harmony. He passed suddenly, I think.
Yeah, suddenly.
A couple years ago. Okay. All right, anyone else? Any prayer requests? Pray for Mr. Lewis. I believe tomorrow is the big day for his knee replacement. So that's still scheduled, right?
Still scheduled.
So Steve is having knee replacement surgery tomorrow. Pray as he goes in for that. All right, anybody else? Yes, Norm?
We probably need to keep Israel in our prayers because of the administration.
Okay, pray for Israel. And changes with, looks like, new administration for our country. And let's pray for our country, too. With the change in administration. All right. A couple other things I'll just mention here. We've been praying for Pastor Alan Griffith's son, Craig Griffith. He did pass away. Craig Griffith passed away a week or so ago. And then Mickey DeWeese asked us to pray for the family of Jerry Bloomfield. That's her neighbor and also the mayor of Chesterville. He was, and he passed away last week with an illness. And I understand that his sister used to attend our church, Jonna. And I believe her last name was Simpson. May have attended our church sometime. I don't know her personally, but. All right. Anything else this morning? Anybody else? Yes?
Some of the families that have visited that have just the Lord would work in their hearts to either bring them out or bring them to Christ.
All right. Pray for those that have been visited in our community. Lord would be working there. Okay, anybody else? Any unspoken requests? Yes, Becky. Unspoken for Becky. Okay. I guess a praise this week, the CenturyLink did come and they were able to install internet for us here. So that's one more step closer to being able to get our live streaming up. And so we're going to be working on that hopefully soon. We're having a meeting tonight to try to learn some things with our audio-visual team, and hopefully we can move forward on that. But praise that this week we're able to take some big steps forward. So anything else? Any other praises, prayer requests? All All right, so well, let's go ahead and divide up. We'll have our ladies go over into the room on the side, and then